Tasting Rim Radio's 2021 Okanagan Reconnect is presented by the Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association, home to over 90 communities and over 200 wineries. TOTA is proud to share with the world this beautiful place they call home, asking our guests to travel respectfully and responsibly so that this region may be enjoyed by all who live and visit for years to come. Hello, friends. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. This is not like any other show that we've done, not like any other series of interviews that we've done. I decided that it was time to head back to the Okanagan safely. And in the week that I was there, I needed home base so that I wasn't racing all over the valley. Our sponsors became our home base: The Hatch, Hillside, and Moon Cursor. We did 25 interviews over the course of the week, and they will play themselves out between now and the end of September. We start at The Hatch in West Kelowna with Chef Mark Filito from Waterfront Wines in Kelowna, David Patterson, the GM and winemaker at Tantalus Wines in East Kelowna, Graydon Ryerson, Michaela Jones, and Graham Dell from The Hatch, Jason Parks from The Hatch, Ellen Walker Matthews, the CEO of Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association, Jeff Hundredmark, the chief winemaker for Rust Wine Co., Christine Coletta, the founder of Okanagan Crush Pad, and Matt Demain, the winemaker at OCP and Haywire. That's our first show. Next week, we head for Naramata. If you're ready, let's rediscover the Okanagan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, the growing flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com.
He's David Patterson. He's the general manager and the winemaker at Tantalus. It's been a while.
It has. How you doing?
I'm very well. The last time, I think, was the Pinot celebration.
Pinot celebration, for sure.
Yeah. How did it go in retrospect?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a great event. We miss it. It's not an event we're going to bring back this year, but maybe next year.
It would be tough to do this year.
Yeah, for sure.
How shortened down did you have? Because you're creative and you like to do things and events. How did you handle these last 16, 18 months?
You know, we managed to do a couple of different dinner series where we just sold tables of six rather than, you know, full family-style long table dinners like we used to. This year, we're doing another Wildebeest thing, even though Wildebeest is closed. We're bringing the whole band back together and sort of like a reunion tour. That's going to be fun. It's actually next week. It's been sold out for a while, but yeah, just trying to do things like that and operate within the rules, but still create some fun things for guests.
Did we adjust to it, we the customer?
Yes, in general. I mean, right at the start, it was a little strange. We had a few sort of people that were quite resistant to masks come through the tasting room, etc.
Did you have a word with them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't welcome. I would say overall, customers have adjusted really well. And we all think, I think, not just myself, but the whole industry thinks that it's actually a better way to be in front of customers than the melee of a busy tasting bar where there is no bookings. The overwhelming feedback from customers has been that it is a better experience, that they are willing to pay the money and to have that experience.
So it's changed?
I think it's changed, yeah. I would be very surprised to see many tasting rooms go back. There are some tasting rooms that are really set up with big long bars for that walk-in traffic, and they will probably go back to that, but most people I think will stick with the booking system. We see about 60% of the people we used to see, humans through the door, because that's what we can handle in this system, and we sell more wine to those 60% people than we used to back in the old system. So for sure we're sticking with the reservation system.
How much wine did we drink?
I've got a lot of pressure on all my SKUs right now, so a lot. There was a lot of challenges to the hospitality side of our business, but I think we all pivoted pretty well. From what I've heard from my colleagues, everyone's in a pretty good position at the moment as far as, you know, sell-through on wine.
He's David Patterson. He's the general manager and the winemaker at Tantalus. Okay, so that's you, the general manager, talking. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to the winemaker, you, for a second. You have fires. You have heat ovens. You have water shortage. What else have I missed, and how's the growing season?
I mean, the growing season's been really challenging. It's one of the one of the interesting things that we do in our business. Keeps it on it keeps us on our toes. Every season's different. I've seen vineyards that have come through really, really well through that heat dome, and you know, the fact that we've had basically zero rain since May. To me, the organic systems, or the more sustainable systems that are not using herbicide and not using insecticide and have a robust biodiverse environment, seem to have come through better than the really commercially farmed vineyards. We've never been in this before, right? We've never gone from minus 20 to plus 47 in 6 months, and so these vines probably don't know what the hell's going on, and so we don't really know what these residual effects are going to be. But that's not going to then, we need to see what those effects are before we make any major decisions. You know, you might start seeing a little bit of the bigger red varieties planted a little bit further north in the Okanagan, things like that. But this is going to take time. This is not a 1 or 2 year process to me.
David Patterson, he's the general manager and the winemaker at Tantalus. David's brought with him two releases from Tantalus. Why these two?
So we've got Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. 2018 Chardonnay, just the very last of the 2018 Chardonnays, drinking spectacularly well right now. And then new release, released 2 weeks ago, the 2019 Pinot Noir, both off our property. Well, 19 was a really small cropped vintage because of that winter. So there's incredible concentration in both 19 and 20. I think it's denser, more concentrated, not necessarily more tannic, just denser is a better way to describe it than 17 or 18. There is a wonderful place for that sort of Chambol Musigny, Volnay, light, ethereal style of Pinot. And there's also a wonderful place for the Gevrey Pommard, deeper, darker expression.
Full circle, that's what I discovered at the celebration, the Pinot celebration, is that there is one of everything in the Pinot range.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it comes down to the dirt, and then a lot of different choices in growing the grape, and then a lot of different choices in the winery as well. So our bench is, you know, very, very sort of gritty and tannic, all the wines that come from around there. You know, you get up to Spearhead, you go over to the Kitches, you know, wherever you look around our area, there's a real structure and density to the wines. Yep. And then you get down into the Okanagan Falls, and, you know, the soils are different and climate's different, and they may be lighter and more floral. And I don't think one or the other is better or worse. They're just very different, which is great. That's why we love Pinot, because Pinot expresses in so many different ways.
What's the price point?
We are $32, taxes in.
He's David Patterson. He's the general manager and the winemaker at Tantalus, the Chardonnay 2018.
Mm-hmm. So Chardonnay's always been something that I've loved. I started my career working at Neudorf, which makes New Zealand's finest Chardonnay. I mean, there are a lot of great New Zealand Chardonnays. I'm biased towards Neudorf's Moutry Old Vine Chardonnay, but certainly would be considered one of the top in the Southern Hemisphere year in and year out. So it's always been something that I've really, really loved making. And we have a really special site for Chardonnay. Although we're known as the Riesling guys, and we do make really good Riesling, Chardonnay has been described often by wine writers and by sommeliers as our dark horse. And we pour a lot of Chardonnay in restaurants because we retain acidity like Chablis, we get weight like Montrachet, Pouilly Montrachet. Montrachet is its own beast in general, but we get in some ways the best of both worlds. And I truly think that Chardonnay over the next 10 or 15 years, as we show these kinds of bottlings at 10 years old, where they actually really age well as well, Could be, because there's a decent amount planted as well, could be the white wine that really shows the pedigree of the Okanagan. I'd love to see that. I think Pinot Gris is kind of boring. It's just Pinot Gris. There's not a lot of nuance or difference in Pinot Gris up and down the valley or really around the world, and unless you get the beautiful Grand Cru of the Alsace, where I think Chardonnay expresses far more interestingly around the valley here.
You haven't changed a bit. All the toes that you step on. What's the price point on the Chard?
The Chard is the same as the Pinot Noir.
Can we now redefine what the promise of the Okanagan is?
I think that's already happening. A lot of the older vineyards that were, an acre of everything, the Tantalus property when it was Pioneer Vineyards was the same. There was Bacchus, there was Cabernet Sauvignon, there was all sorts of stuff on that property. We pulled everything out and tried to focus more like an old world estate on the three varieties that we make. We've got a little Pinot Meunier that goes into Rosé as well, but we're basically Pinot, Chardonnay and Riesling. And you're seeing that in a lot of companies right around the valley and around BC, where people are starting to specialize in what they grow really well. And then when you look at the medium size or bigger companies, they have lots of different holdings. So within their portfolio, they can have a lot more diversity. But when you look at where those wines actually came from in their portfolio, they're also definitely honing down where what's growing where and how well it's growing.
David, just one last thought. Mm-hmm. The interesting byproduct of how you've changed your tasting room, you get a chance to actually speak and answer questions and have a conversation about
definitely.
Your wines. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Maybe that will show itself in the future from the other side of the counter, where we'll come in and we'll have that knowledge and we'll be better customers.
We're seeing a lot less of the big party bus than we used to. People are rethinking their lives as well. Do I really need a stagette of 22 people, or can I maybe use my money more wisely than that, and maybe just have a smaller group of more intimate friends that are really truly friends? So I think that goes right down to how society is changing more than anything else. Where people who are into wine are coming and wanting to spend the time, and they're educating themselves. They're reading more. When they're drinking more consciously.
Yeah.
They're looking for higher acid, lower alcohol. Fresher, and I think the Okanagan provides that in spades. So I think the future looks bright for us.
Thank you for this.
No problem.
It's a pleasure to actually sit down and go nose to nose.
Excellent. Thanks. Cheers.
David Patterson from Tantalus, Kelowna. Also in Kelowna, Chef Mark Filito. Waterfront Wines Restaurant. Is that correct?
Sure.
Are you the general manager?
Sure.
Are you the executive chef?
Sure.
I've come to reconnect for you and for Waterfront Wines and the restaurant. Can you possibly describe what the last 16, 18 months have been like?
Hell. But always with positive light on the other side. So we seem to be coming out of it in the sense of this pandemic. I'm lucky. I consider myself very lucky. We have just enough staff for the 5 days a week to handle the busiest month we've ever had.
He's Mark Filito, Chef Mark Filito. Waterfront Wines Restaurant. What about we, the customer? Have we taken all of that into consideration when we sit down, or are we still expecting five-star hoo-ha?
I think there's people from all sides of the, both sides of the fence on that one. I think some people are very gracious in the sense of being, they're a model customer. And then you have other people who are, I think they forgot what's just happened around the world for the last 16 months. Or, there's been a big problem that's been national news where people aren't showing up for their reservations. They make reservations in all these places. So the best excuse yet, hostess calls, "Sir, you're 10 minutes late for your table. Are you still coming?" "Oh, no, sorry. We're just getting off the boat. Cancel that, would you?" Oh, and there comes the it was $20 and we upped it to $40. Cancellation fee. Yeah, totally.
It's big money to be made there.
Well, sorry about your boat.
All right. He's Mark Filito, and he is the man behind Waterfront Wines Restaurant. Did all of this affect the menu, the kind of restaurant you are, or the kind of restaurant you might be going forward?
Yeah, we kind of divided our restaurant, the menu, into sort of two sections, unsmoked and smoked.
Okay, a couple of quick, are we drinking more wine? Are we eating more food?
Personally, I'm drinking a lot of wine. I punched so many holes in my cellar this past 18 months. I think people are eating a lot of food. And I think it's, I mean, being a restaurant in the Okanagan and people wine touring all day, it's hard to analyze their consumption at dinner because maybe they've imbibed too much over the day. But people are still drinking a lot of wine.
And finally, going forward, the next 5 years, what do you think? Next 10 years, next 15 years, the future of the Okanagan
freedom,
in general?
Freedom 55.
Has this changed business here, do you think?
For myself, I think just that 5 day a week model is way better for staff. It's way better for myself personally. And if it focuses people coming into the restaurant Tuesday through Saturday, okay, and you're a little bit busier rather than spread out over 7 days, then so be it.
He's Mark Filito, okay? What's your website?
Waterfrontrestaurant.ca.
Chef Mark Filito. Waterfront Wines Restaurant. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, The Growing Flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room has reopened for tastings, and they suggest you book as soon as you can. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tolley. All the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and you are listening to the first of several Okanagan Reconnect specials. It's been 2 years since I've been up there. I have a lot of friends, lived there for 4.5 years. It was time to go back. We start at the Hatch as a base. We've just had a conversation with Chef Mark Filito, and now it's Jeff Hundredmark, the chief winemaker at Mount Boucherie and Rust Wine Co. We'll be talking and tasting Rust wines. His name is Jeff Hundredmark. You are literally right around the corner in the neighborhood. Jeff Hundredmark is the head winemaker at Mount Boucherie. We've talked about Mount Boucherie, but we sort of didn't get a chance to talk about Rust Wine Co. Explain your relationship with them, and how are you? And happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I am the winemaker for both Mount Boucherie and Rust. I'm the director of winemaking for both companies. So we do have.
You can't be everywhere.
Exactly. So we have a winemaker, Ryan DeWitt, who is the winemaker for Rust Wine Co. down in Oliver, and. So he's responsible for all the concoctions we're going to taste today and all the concoctions we taste at the winery. And then he kind of helps me out with all the wines at Mount Boucherie as well. And yeah, so my relationship with him is very kindred.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is Jeff Hundredmark, Mount Boucherie and Rust Wine. What do we need to know about Rust?
So Rust is located down in Oliver, between Oliver and Osoyoos, right on the Golden Mile Bench. We're really focused on single varietal, single lot. We're doing a lot of things like Syrah, which we do in four different vineyard sites now, but all made exactly the same way, and just tasting of the soil and of the region.
Hold on a second. What's the top of that bottle look like?
They're all waxed.
Different colors.
Yeah, they're all different colors. So every vineyard has its own color theme, basically, for all the labeling.
I am so impressed with those wines. They're fantastic. Just to take us through that. There's four different Syrahs.
Yeah.
Or grown in four different locations?
From four different vineyards, from four different locations. So we've got our home farm, which is on the Golden Mile Bench. That's the orange wax top. We have the Similkameen Valley, which is the sort of the baby blue top, and that's our vineyard down South Coast and just across from Vanessa Vineyards, right beside Seven Stones. So we have a big 85.
I just drove by there.
Yeah, a big 85 acre vineyard there, which is the majority of our grapes for Rust and for Mount Boucherie. So we source our Syrah from there. And then the Black Sage Bench, we have a relationship with the fine folks at Quinta Ferreira. So we purchased a small lot of their Syrah grapes for the Black Sage Bench.
Just at the top end of that road.
That's right, yeah. And then the newest one is our Lost Horn Vineyard, which is in Okanagan Falls. So that one will be a... What color is that one? That's kind of a lavender, purple-colored...
That's nice. I think it's handsome. It's a it's a very handsome idea. Tell us about those four different wines and how different... Just to show how the regions change a certain varietal.
Oh, they really do. Primarily, the soil type is really what's different in each of those regions. The Similkameen is really kind of schisty and stony, rocky. The Golden Mile is big stone, really hard granite and some sand in there. The Black Sage Bench is virtually all sand. And then Okanagan Falls is, again, a really rocky site, a lot of minerals and real salinity in the wine.
Jeff Hundertmark, head winemaker at Mount Boucherie and Rust Wine Co. So in that same order, tell me about the taste and nose varietal difference.
In that same order. So the Similkameen, we're going to get, it's going to have some fairly good meat characters to that Syrah. So it's got a real kind of cured, cured deli meats kind of character to it. The fruit's really present, really, really bright red fruit. The Golden Mile is a lot more kind of almost dried fruits, stewed fruits, really kind of jam, confectionery type of fruit. And the Black Sage Bench is, again, another big meaty one, but it also has a real good herbaceous character. It's got a lot of that floral character, garrigue, we call it in the industry. The lavender and the sage and all that sort of thing.
He is Jeff Hundertmark, by the way, and he is the chief winemaker, thank you, at Mount Boucherie, Mount Boo, and Rust Wine. And we're talking Rust right now.
So I brought an un-oak Chardonnay, which is a lot of fun. Really good food because it's got a real interesting salinity to it. Really good mineral character to it, stony and just delicious.
Price point?
You always ask me these questions. Damn it. I'm going to go with 26.
You can't do that.
52.
Okay. How about the Cab Franc?
Cab Franc is, that one's 30, and that one is, they're both Lost Horn Vineyard fruit, so those are both Okanagan Falls. The last one I brought, though. Yes. So that's this one here. This baby has not even been bottled yet. This one is still in barrel. We're bottling in another couple of weeks. This is all from the Golden Mile, so all of our home vineyard fruit. About equal parts, 35%, Zinfandel, Merlot, and Syrah, with a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon and a little bit, a tiny bit of Gewürztraminer in there as well.
When does it come out?
It'll be probably our fall release, and this time is going to be mostly for our wine club members. Okay. So this will be a special add-on to the wine club. We only made about 115 cases of this vintage. Next vintage, it'll be a little bit bigger. The 2020, we've got about, 250 cases of that.
Rust Wine Co., thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Have a great rest of the year, whatever the hell happens.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Jeff Hundertmark, head winemaker at Mount Boucherie and Rust Wine Co.
This is the summer 2021 edition of Okanagan Reconnect. All of us have been trying to reconnect with the Okanagan in one way or another. Sometimes it's just a bottle of wine on your table. But I had lived there for close to 5 years. I wanted to go back and see what had happened. Who was new to the valley, how my friends were doing. We gathered for this first show at the Hatch in West Kelowna. We're going to talk to Jason Parks, who conceived of the Hatch, is at the very center of everything that happens there. He's a wonderful winemaker. there's a question that's been sitting in the back of my mind. I wanted to ask him about the future.
What are the possibilities? I'm talking about the entire umbrella organization known as the Hatch, which is huge in its scope. Mm-hmm. It's not just the Hatch. There's many labels there. Mm-hmm. What are the possibilities in the future? What are the concerns and what are the possibilities for this organization going forward?
Possibilities are, you know, world domination, Terry. No, in all honesty, when I get up and go to work every day, I don't think about how far the company can go. I feel how far the individuals can go within the company. So it's building a foundation and growing the people within the company and seeing how far they all want to take it. I want to retire and move to Mexico. So I've got a great team of people, but right now my focus is just developing the people because we do have these multiple locations. And that's kind of all I think about, to be honest with you. It might not be the best business mind, but it's developing the core of the company.
So you surround yourself with good people that you trust.
That are all much smarter than me. Not better looking, but smarter.
Is it? I was thinking, what's the key ingredient that you were looking for? Trust, honesty, smarts, all wrapped up in one ball.
Common sense is a big thing these days with the new generation. No offense, young people out there. No offense, sorry. Common sense, loyalty, honesty, that stuff. The skill set's easy. You can learn. You can learn anything. If you're an honest person, you got good work ethic, you can pull it off. But we've been known to be demanding almost, this company, believe it or not. We look like the casual renegade guys, but we have high expectations of our employees.
You're demanding of them certain standards?
Yeah, we push the limits to put that extra mile in, you know. So it doesn't work out with everybody. I've got 60 employees right now that work for the company, and, you know, I'm hoping 15 of them pull it off.
We were just talking off mic about how much the Valley's changed. Mm-hmm. Is it for the good?
That's a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
That's a loaded question. I don't care what I say because I don't get in trouble. But we definitely focus on our bubble. So we've got our little bubble that we do, and we focus on that. It is changing. There's a lot of different people coming into it that will add good and add bad, just like we do. You know, there's pros and cons to every aspect of how people look at the industry, but it's definitely keeps you on your toes. It's changing. You have to adjust constantly to what's happening, you know? So that makes it fun and challenging.
And the other side of that coin is, are we changing the customer? Are we different now?
I think the customer is changing. I do. I think that they're more open-minded. Like, there's some wineries around that could be put up for $30 million, and you could have this little place on Boucher Road that was a $300,000 renovation doing triple the sales in one day. I just tooted the old horn there.
That's right.
But so I think that people, in all honesty, are a bit more depth in what they're looking for. It's not just the bells and whistles.
And your sunglasses, I'll leave you with this. Death to wine snobs.
In the most kindest way.
Death, it's death.
That's not quite death. It's just...
It's a small get
over yourself.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
Jason Parks. At the very center of all those worker bees. Speaking of worker bees, my friends, we have three of the very best next on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room has reopened for tastings, and they suggest you book as soon as you can. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting, and of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tolley. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.
First of all, we are at the Hatch, and I have on your left Grayson Reardon, the manager of Black Swift. And in between, like an Oreo, Michaela Jones, who's the manager of the Hatch, and Graham Dell, the chief financial officer. We're going to try to make sense of what is the Hatch. And I'm going to start with you, Michaela, because you probably can describe it as well as anyone. But this is the starting block, right? This is where it first started?
The Hatch very much was founded by the idea of being a bit rebellious on this line of very traditional, very lovely wineries. We wanted something a little bit different, really incorporate our rusty little shack persona into the way we operate. So the whole Black Swift idea came from the Black Swift bird, which is a rare bird native to BC, lays one egg per hatching season. From that one egg hatching new ideas, the Hatch was born. So the Hatch is sort of the incubator, the diving board for all these different brands, concepts, ideas, creative people and energies to come together and make some cool wine and some fun experiences.
Were lubricants part of this concept? Because it seems like it was one giant pot session or one giant smoker or something. Because, let's do this.
Yeah. I think the article was found, what, at 2 a.m., 1 a.m.?
Yeah, so like the original Black Swift article was found late in the evening. But I think the original tagline and like the infancy of this whole thing when people asked how it came about was that it was fueled by soft narcotics and hard liquor. So testament to how it all shakes out.
It's funny how I picked up on that.
Yeah.
Now, and you do say that you're different. Ridden, what are those differences?
So this place, other than the fact that for the better part of 5 years it was home to like 70 different wines under five different brands, is already like a bit of a full shotgun approach versus the more formal West Side. And like obviously from like a base branding perspective, kind of took a note way more so out of the world of like craft beer as far as like the fusion of wine and artwork instead of just like formal script and font and rattling on about vineyards, which the irony is that it's always been about the vineyards and our relationships with people, but at the same time, like just trying to latch on to the idea that you can do things a little bit differently as like a punk rock gong show and somehow people either love it or hate it, but whatever you do, it's still worth it to give it the good old punk rock try.
I love that. That's what attracted me, and the wine. Grayson Varden, the manager of Black Swift. Graham Dell is the chief financial officer. Do I have to ask you any financial questions?
No.
Are there any you could answer?
Probably not.
For people who want to do this, conceive of themselves doing this, what is a startup?
I mean, I think it really depends what you want to build. This place is some rusty tractor sheds that were here pre-existing and a little bit of duct tape and some new wiring, and that was that.
There's a lot of found material here.
There is, yes. Yeah. Salvaging. And yeah, we've been collecting ever since. I mean, thrifting is a big part of our spring reboot every year to get the decor into shape for the busy seasons.
It's going to work here. You got to latch on to jorts, otherwise there's no point, really.
You mean, honestly, I think one of the coolest things we're doing right now to tie everything together, and it was kind of what a big part of who we are is truthfully our wine club, which is something that we rebranded and relaunched this year. And you can go to Crown, you can go to Black Swift, you can go to the Cider, you can come back to the Hatch. You can kind of keep coming to us and saying hi as much as you want. So, I think the wine club's great, honestly. And I'm not just trying to push it. It was just something that we did from as much as it sounds.
I believe you just did. I think exactly you just did that.
Like the wineries are obviously great. And we've got great people. Grayson and Michaela are here. I think just the wine club is something cool.
We are at the Hatch. And I have on your left, Grayson Reardon, the manager of Black Swift. And in between, Michaela Jones, who's the manager of the Hatch. And Graham Dell, the chief financial officer. Grayson, take me through the portfolio of what is the Hatch and behind it and beside it.
So the Hatch, to me, is like the verifiable playground where you can lean into like the fullest degree of like eccentricity and weirdness as far as winemaking goes. The irony in it is that it was rooted in Black Swift, which now is also its own thing, which is like by far the most conventional series of wines. Each portfolio is probably like 20 wines. Crown portfolio is smaller, but like the Hatch is vineyard driven, but like playfully vineyard driven, and we can lean into whatever experimentation the winemaking guys want to do across the board. And then Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy are like conventionally vineyard and vintage driven wines that highlight what they're made of and where they came from. And then Crown and Thieves, as the third Renegade portfolio, is kind of like a hybrid of the two. Like, they're wines that are rooted in traditionalism, but then fully lean into, like, the consistent punk rock spirit of like taking something formal and traditional and then like kicking out the jams as far as experimentation and like a little bit of boundary pushing is concerned.
Thank you. Okay, Michaela, can you tell if people walking in here know what they're walking into within 3-4 steps of the door?
You know what? There is. Yeah, I usually know if someone's been here before pretty immediately based on their cancer.
It's the new Okanagan.
Something like that.
It's newer.
Generational flip.
And I think it's really exciting and cool to see how approachable wine is becoming from, you know, very much wine, I think, came from a place of elitism. Not always, but there is definitely a sense of elitism and I think fear approaching the world of wine because it is such a vast expanse of knowledge and
it's just juice in a glass.
It's fermented grapes.
Yeah, like it's just juice that's supposed to make your life better and your food better. Anything that became like uppity and pretentious about it was a misconception, right? Like, I don't think that was ever the intention ever.
Well, it was medieval peasants getting drunk because they couldn't drink the water.
Yeah, look back to it's just the monks finding something safer than H2O, really.
We are at the Hatch, and I have on your left Grayson Reardon, the manager of Black Swift, Michaela Jones, who's the manager of the Hatch, and Graham Dell, the chief financial officer. It's up to you, by the way, they've threw to you. To explain the wines on the table. Do you want to start with the Pinot Blanc? In a family dynamic, if the Hatch is the dad, what's Black Swift?
Some kind of really cool grandfather, I would say. And like on paper, this vineyard was like originally maybe going to be Black Swift, but because the intention is smaller volume, higher end wines built for progression and evolution, like couldn't just do Black Swift. It also didn't necessarily jive with like the spirit out of the gates of what we were trying to change in the world of wine. And now it's kind of come full circle because Pinot Blanc grows here. It was planted between 1985 and 97, so like it's pretty old. Half of it is in steel, and then the other portion is barrel fermented, barrel aged combination of oak. But in this case, it's really about like, it's not so much about the winemaking. It's more about that this is reflective of who we are and where we came from. It's also like this vineyard is a real testament to logic in the valley. Like a lot of BC's Wild West and everybody grows whatever they want, wherever they want to. But this in a dominant sense is Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir, and Gamay.
Attaboy.
All of which are like jamming for cool climate. Well, now it's a debatable cool climate, but that's a whole like environmental conversation
that we're
not diving
into.
Yeah. And it's 2020 was early harvest, so it's a little bit more moderate. So it's a sexy wine that you can crush all day.
We are at the Hatch, and I have Grayson Reardon, the manager of Black Swift, Michaela Jones, who's the manager of the Hatch, and Graham Dell, the chief financial officer. Okay, we're talking about the Black Swift, the Hatch Vineyard, 2020 Pinot Blanc. Chief financial officer, what's the price point on that? You don't even know it.
I think it's $27.99.
Yeah, he controls the numbers once they're already done. I control them when they go onto a price tag. $27.99 plus government fun time, bringing us to $32.29 all said and did after taxes.
It's a Pinot Blanc.
Yeah, it's a Pinot Blanc, testament to what Black Swift is supposed to be about.
All right, and moving quickly then to Crown and Thieves, please explain to me, Crown and Thieves, if the Hatch is a father and the Black Swift is a grandfather, what is Crown and Thieves?
Ooh, Weird Uncle Energy does sing to me. Eddie from Rocky Horror Picture Show with the motorbike and the, you know, leather jacket.
Kind of scary.
Kind of scary, but in a really fun, cool way, rides up in the motorbike. Definitely the uncle.
And also, like, Crown and Thieves has always been like the culmination of like Jason's spirit and the spirit that drives the guys as far as winemaking goes. Like the tagline from day one when we launched the brand here at the Hatch is their wines made by scoundrels and sit by kings and queens, which kind of captures the full like reverence to traditionalism and winemaking, but also like pushing the boundaries, setting aside, and then actually focusing on things that we think were like maybe too weird for the general public, but now have a home in this place. Crown is also the culmination of everything that we want it to be, right? Like it's this renegade ruin of a spot in West Kelowna, and it's also created to be a music venue. Like the Broken Hearts Club is in the basement. So like out of everything, Crown and Thieves is the full culmination of the enigma that is Jay as a human. The wine itself is the Archdoxy Cab Franc. It's a queen, but Cab Franc is very much a king in the world of wine. Like Cab Franc
in this case, it's both a king and a queen because it carries a whole weight of the world of wine. And this comes from an icon vineyard for us. Like, that's born entirely out of Hans Estate, which is on the east of Soyuz Bench. It was planted back in 2001, and it yields only, like, the biggest, most brooding rock and roll red wines. And then this is framed by 39 months in oak, which is like 3 1/4 years. Like, you don't see a lot of wines that take a nap for that long, and it builds it up into like a hulking animalistic bomb
new oak
of Cab Franc. 100% new oak, yeah, actually, which, like, it's a lot of resources to throw at a bottle of wine, but we're kind of unwavering on the patience sector. Like, nothing at this point in the reds, at least the heavy reds, comes out until it's got enough love to be of merit in a glass, although it all has merit.
Michaela, I come up to the counter and I'm at Crown and Thieves. I say, could I try the Archdoxy, and can you tell me about it? What would you say?
It's big boy. Big Cab Franc, a grape we really love to play with. Cab Franc's an awesome grape for the Okanagan, bit of an earlier ripening big red. So we get that full, big, bold, especially with the big oak program on it, like in your face, you know, push you around a bit.
We've lost Graham. He's doing numbers in his head, I can tell. Can you give me the price point on this Archdox?
$44.99.
Sorry?
$44.99.
Is he right?
Yeah, it hovers around the 50 mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we survive this 5 years down, 10 years, 15 years down the road, like the Okanagan and the BC wine business, everything that's been thrown at us and what the customer is changing?
I think what we do every day, and I think this is what's going to allow us to survive, is, I mean, wine's a massively important part of what we do, and we take it very seriously. But more so than that, we're working really hard to create an experience, you know, 11 to 8 every day with good people. And, you know, we're in the tourism world. It's like, come check us out and have some fun. Every year this happens in our shops, our teams become really close friends, and they're having more fun than I think sometimes our customers are. And I think that just energy bleeds into people wanting to come and hang out with us.
Describe Jason Parks in a word.
Standard answer, always. He's an enigma, wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in bacon, and tattoos.
That's a lot of words. The hyphen guy.
Jason in a word? Oh, man.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
No,
this segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. And welcome to the Okanagan Reconnect. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Here's the deal. In the 5 years, 4.5 years, that Meg and I lived on the Narramatta Bench, we were surrounded by many of the voices and some of the faces that you'll see and hear over the next 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks and beyond. Because there's a lot of bases to touch here. We waited some 16 months of COVID and the lockdown to finally make this trip back to the Okanagan. But in order to start, we needed a support and help and guidance from the Thompson Okanagan Tourist Association, TOTA. And much to my astonishment, Ellen Walker Matthews, who was the person who went on the road with me the first time we did this tour, 2008 perhaps, was sitting in the car with me, and we got to know each other. She is now, did I see a press release go by that you're now officially the CEO?
Yes, you did, Terry. Where did that time go, eh? From when we first went traveling around the wine region in 2008 until today. My goodness, a lot of water under the bridge.
Just explain Thompson Okanagan Tourist Association. In this day and age, with all that's going on, what is the main driving force?
Well, we've been a destination management organization for many years now, Terry. With my counterparts in the other regions, there's 5 regions in the British Columbia. We've worked hard to be close to our stakeholders over the COVID period to provide them with guidance, to provide them with information and resources or access to resources. So our role has adapted and changed, but fundamentally, we're here to make sure that the tourism industry has a long-term resiliency and that we're able to come out of now COVID, come through some of the other issues that we're dealing with and find resolution and find opportunities for our businesses.
You know why you're perfect for the job, other than the fact you're a great person? The fact is that you've done all the other jobs and you've been to all of the other regions. You know what the job is.
Yeah, I used to joke that I held every job at TOTA before this one, so I couldn't hold down a job. But it has been a great advantage to work in the media and the travel trade and in sustainability and destination development. And so I do understand the departments. I do understand the other regions. And I've been in the Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association for 12 years now. So definitely have a good understanding of what needs to be done and have a great team that's working with me.
The Thompson Okanagan region that we knew before COVID, and now the same region now, what's changed? How different is it?
Well, it's grown over the last many years, so definitely it's a region that has been coming into its own. But I think COVID, with British Columbians staying home and Canadians staying closer to home or having to stay in Canada, it's been discovered by a whole generation of people that hadn't been here. They'd been going far afield, yeah. And now they're finding it, and they're finding out how incredible the region is.
But also there was a whole lockdown. They had to survive that. They had to find creative ways to do business, for restaurants, for example. Now that things have started to lift a bit, what's happened in the region?
Well, first of all, to your point, I think great accolades to our small businesses and our entrepreneurs. We are not a region that has a lot of big operators and, deep pockets, so people have had to really adapt.
It's kind of why we like it.
Exactly. And these people have, this is their livelihood. This is their life. So they've really had to hold on and wait for people to come back and make changes. I mean, our restaurant community had to make the first changes, and they've done a great job of that. But everybody's had to do a lot of adapting. And now we see people coming back and enjoying it. And I think our businesses are just so happy to be welcoming people back.
Okay, it's August 4th, timestamp. The fires have had their way with you. It's a pretty beautiful day today. Some of the COVID bans have been lifted. They can be dropped at any time. The fires can return. Does it feel like you might have survived the worst part of this summer?
I'm not going to let you jinx me like that, Terry. I certainly hope we have. I think our businesses have been, as I say, resilient. Our tourists and guests to the region have been resilient. They're staying. They're enjoying it. I think they're tired of being locked in. And so a little smoke and fire is not deterring them at the moment. And we hope that this is going to be near the end of it.
One of the questions, we're doing lots of interviews, and one of the questions I'm going to ask is, of the tasting room experience, are you seeing a kindness across the counter? Or are you seeing some people come in as though nothing has happened and entitled?
Oh, Terry. So I'm going to go with kindness. That's because that's what I believe I want to hear. I do think that there is a level of kindness. And we've been trying to promote the fact that businesses are short-staffed, that it is hot out, which makes people a little bit short-tempered.
And they've gone through the same things you have.
And they've gone through the same thing, so they're stressed as well. And so just the whole idea of just come, enjoy yourself, give everybody a little slack. Make sure that you're appreciative of the people that have been working hard to reopen their businesses and will appreciate that you've come to visit.
Could be a hell of a harvest.
Oh, I think so. I think it's going to be amazing. I think, my favorite time in the region is the fall. I think it's the most beautiful time to be here. I have only lived in the Okanagan for 30 years. But in those 30 years, what I've learned is if you're going to come and visit in September and October. It's amazing. So certainly look forward to seeing people here and experiencing that.
For people making plans now, where are they getting their current updates?
So we on the Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association site, so thompsonokanagan.com, we're keeping all of our sites updated from everything that's out there. So you can go to multiple sites, Wildfire, BC Wildfire, and Emergency Services, but we're keeping all those links on our site, so it should be your most current place to go.
How's the Thompson doing?
The Thompson has been impacted greatly as well. Certainly, they see a lot more international guests, so they've had trouble attracting domestic market people, but they are seeing that happen, which is great. But again, they've been, experiencing fires, and they've had a lot of evacuations. So Kamloops is busy, but it's busy with a lot of people who are relocated from other locations.
I'm going to go talk to all of these wineries now. It's going to be a bit of a challenge. Is there one question I should ask them?
I just want you to ask them how they're surviving and give them our best. We really appreciate that you've come to the region, Terry. This is so great that you're here, that you're talking to everybody, that you're elevating the information to those listeners that are out there that might think about coming this fall. We're thrilled to have you back here. Can't wait to hear the show as it evolves. And I just give them a pat on the back and say thanks for hanging in there for all these months.
I'm seeing changes. I'm seeing new vineyards. I'm seeing new businesses. I'm seeing... Well, the road traffic's always been steady. There's a new buzz. There's an infusion of cash coming into the, right? What am I missing? What else is going on?
No, I think you've nailed it. I think there's a real energy about the region now that was maybe not quite there yet. We were coming of age, but I think this is, it's an interesting thing that positive things can come out of negative things, but I think we've been discovered in a much different way, and I think this is going to last us for some time to come.
What's your website?
ThompsonOkanagan.com.
Thank you. Ellen Walker Matthews from the land of three named people. I'm Terry David Mulligan from the same place.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
I have in front of me, I'm at Okanagan Crush Pad. I have Narrative Chenin Blanc 2019. The Chenin Blanc part gets me my attention right away. And the Gamay Rosé, which is the one varietal that I think should be the choice and the champ in the Okanagan, but that's just me, from Haywire. I'm at Okanagan Crush Pad. Matt Dumain, winemaker. Christine Coletta, the queen of the Okanagan, is here with me. We're going to try to make sense of the last 2 years, about the last year and a half.
Oh my goodness, how long do we have? Yeah, the last year and a half has been special, hasn't it?
As we sat down, you said you should have been here yesterday, because there's nobody here now. Yesterday was crazy?
Yes. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it, which is really hard to sort of plan. Yesterday was a madhouse, and this morning it was incredibly busy, and then now there's a lull. People seem to come in waves. I need to start asking them where they're coming from.
Are they organized? No.
Some people make reservations, others just walk in. So there's a bit of a mix between different people's different approach. They're just sort of wandering around, discovering wine country, and they pop in, which is okay. We're fine with that.
Where were you for lockdown, Matt?
We were tucked out the back making hand sanitizer. one of the benefits of having your own distillery. So
was it the best hand sanitizer ever?
It was the most flavorful for sure. Now we ended up using some gin reserves and made hand sanitizer for the community and dished it out to everyone. It was good.
I'm at Okanagan Crush Pad. Matt Dumain, winemaker. Christine Coletta is here with me. How did the community handle it?
Very well. I think the community was extremely supportive of local business. I think we all tried to sort of get behind supporting the businesses that were open. And we've had a lot of people coming to the Okanagan this past summer and again this year. So it's been a hot destination.
Are they different people? I'm getting a sense that some of them don't know that all of this went down and they are kind of entitled.
We tend to get an older group here. I think you might be finding some of those entitles in some of the larger metro areas. But our demographic here is a little bit older, and they're super cautious and super respectful. We haven't had any issue at all.
I asked for two wines. Did you choose?
I did, because I think you like Chenin Blanc.
I love Chenin Blanc, and I love Okanagan Crush Pad. Matt, take me through the Chenin Blanc.
A little small batch we did as a one-off. We have our own Chenin planted up at Garnet Valley. So this was a little tie-over until our own grapes come online.
How old are those vines?
2 years old now, yeah. So very young. Won't see any fruit for a couple more years. Chenin is very well suited to the Okanagan, I feel. You get some nice extended hang time, good refreshing acidity, and you also get that mid-palate texture, which is, you know, so synonymous with Chenin Blanc.
We have the heat.
Oh, exactly. We got the heat, the elevation. This is from a very beautiful vineyard over in Naramata called Hidden Hollow. Vines are fairly old for the Okanagan, around 15, 20 years old. It's fermented naturally in concrete, bottled after about 6 months, and you know, it's classic Chenin, and it's just got that lush, oily, mid-palate texture, really refreshing.
What's he saying?
He says you're going to like it. That's what he's saying. But never mind all that. What do you think of the label? That's my role in all
this. I love the label. I love the fact that it's open. As a matter of fact, the label extends in my eye line about that wide. It just smacks me.
Yes. Yeah, so we switched things up. We added color to the labels. Everyone is a little bit different on the narrative line. And it's a pretty tasty wine.
Price point?
Ooh, $26.90.
Is this out now?
It is. And it's available here at the winery. And it's available online, too.
Here in Summerland? I could get it in Summerland?
Yes, I might give you a bottle.
Wow. I'm at Okanagan Crush Pad. Matt Dumain, winemaker. Christine Coletta, the queen of the Okanagan, is here with me. And on the other side of it is the Gamay Rosé. Like, there's no greater combination. Nope. I'm a Pinot Noir guy, but Gamay Rosé turns my crank.
Yes, we have been making a Gamay Rosé since 2010.
You're the one who turned me on to it.
Uh-huh. And I love it. It's changed in style a little bit from year to year. I think we've got a beautiful, I think we've hit the nail on the head with the 2019. Lovely color, just delicious. You did a good job of that, Matt.
Oh, thank you. It's, I mean, Gamay is so well suited to the Okanagan, and, you know, just between you and I, I'd prefer a Gamay Rose over a Pinot any day. So it's bone dry, such a food-friendly, versatile wine, and, yeah, just delicious.
Let me quote Jade Rysdale. We need more Gamay.
Mm. Oh, I love
Can
it.
We plant more?
We have planted more, and he's right, we do. I think there's about 100 and... I think about 187 acres.
Acres?
Yeah, in the whole valley, which is nothing. And there's a big high demand for it. So I think you're going to see people grubbing out some of the varieties that are out of fashion and perhaps planting Gamay for one. Yes, I think we need more of it for sure.
I want to be so out of fashion. Okay, one more thing. Christine, I get your newsletter.
Yes.
There's a couple of things going on that sort of caught my eye, but I don't have the newsletter in front of me. What are you up to on the event side?
On the event side, this year we only have a small event happening on August 21st, and I believe it's a music night and
what's it called?
Barbecue. It's just a VIP club night for our best customers.
That's it? You didn't win another award or anything?
No, nothing like that.
Matt, did you win anything?
Best haircut.
No.
Every day he comes to work, he wins. But what we did do this year that was different is that we made our own concrete tanks last year. They're 330 liters each, and we've been doing experimental trials with those tanks. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a wine tasting here of all the hobnobbers to determine if there was a theme in the results of the wine and what their preferences were. So that was a very interesting little tasting that we did.
And who won?
We don't know yet, because we've also sent samples to people in various parts of the land, and we're waiting for them to complete online surveys. So we don't know yet. Matt has an inkling.
Certainly have a favorite. It's, you know, it's great using sand and gravel from your own vineyards to make tanks. So.
And that's what we did. So we collected sand and gravel from our three different vineyards, and we made three tanks from each batch of sand and gravel, and then we put different varieties in them. So we're beginning to lean towards Garnet Valley as being the winning vessel, but it's not conclusive yet.
Okay. And finally, the rest of the year, just getting through, just enjoying yourself, harvest, right?
Yeah, grapes are just starting to color up this week, so give it a few more weeks. We'll start doing some sampling. We've just finished bottling for the year, so basically sanitizing the winery from top to bottom, and we'll start the whole thing again.
You're such a people person. Did you miss us?
I love seeing you. Love it.
No, not me. The crowd, the people.
We love having people here.
I noticed that the vineyard guys here have put the chickens and ducks into their pen. If you let them out, they start pecking at the grapes.
Yeah.
So you know that it's getting close to harvest time when they start that kind of activity.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So wonderful.
I'm at Okanagan Crush Pad. Matt Dumain, winemaker. Christine Coletta, the co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad.